141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic stretch their lead at the top after an incident-packed win at Hamilton. Rangers' post-winter break stutter continues with a goalless draw at home to Aberdeen. And Florian Camberry made unusual comments about moving to Ibrox, according to Hibs boss Jack Ross. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Quiet weekend, really. Apart from that red card shown at Hamilton yesterday and the two red cards that should have been shown at Hamilton yesterday, Rangers fell further behind in the title race as well, but I don't think anybody noticed apart from the caller on Saturday who said Alfredo Morelos looked overweight and the other caller who said he didn't like Steven Gerrard and he never would. Is it just me, Alec, or is it getting warm for February?
Yeah, without doubt. Brilliant weekend, Hugh. Obviously, Celtic won again, continuing their impressive form. Rangers stuttered and dropping 2 points. Gary Holt's Livy continue to impress. And Alex Dyer, what are the big 3 points that was for him? So much to discuss tonight.
The number you need is 0141 951 1025. The floor is yours, so tell us what you made of all of the weekend's big talking points. Hugh Keevans, it is Monday though. It's that time of the week when you get put on the spot. And I'll ask you first of all for a goal of the weekend.
I'm going to
a result of the weekend. I don't know why I went for goal first.
Oh, wait,
result of the weekend.
Result, Livy won, Motherwell nil, before you fade my mic down. I thought for Gary Holt and all concerned that Livy, 5 home games, 1 on the bounce, and not a goal conceded in any of them. That's 7.5 hours of football. Well done, Livy.
Yeah, I went for Livingston as well, Gordon, purely for the point of view as Hugh's just touched upon. 5 wins, haven't lost in 11 games. Livingston, Hugh. So what a remarkable job he's doing.
What about Arbroath? Come on, Arbroath winning away.
I take your point on board. I spoke to Callum Ellerone, one of the producers. He was at the game, Dundee United game. Says they were desperate.
Okay, going for Livy, that's fine. I don't mind that at all. What about your goal of the weekend, Alex Ray?
My goal goes to Vigers. The touch, the little kind of half, it wasn't even a full trigger. It was just like a little bump, power shot, drill past the goalkeeper.
Ian Vigers of Ross
excellent
County.
Excellent goal.
Good choice, Hugh Keevans. Your goal of the weekend.
I'm giving my goal of the weekend and my howler of the weekend to the same man.
All right.
So,
explain.
Goal of the weekend, Christopher Julien. What a finish. 6th goal of the season for Celtic. I think he's a better goal scorer than he is a defender.
And that's why you're giving him the howler, presumably.
I think when Hamilton Aki scored their goal from a corner kick, you have got to, absolutely got to, expect better of a £7 million centre half. And even he held his hands up right away, fair play to him. He was angry with it, but you've got to do better than that.
My howler was Odson Edward, back post, open goal. You'd expect him to score it, particularly in the form he's on at the moment. You know, 2 goals, excellent prior to that, but you'd expect him to score that one.
Okay, 01419511025. Just a bit of fun to kick us off on a Monday. At Clyde SSB on Twitter, what have you made of any of the weekend's big talking points? Let's hear from you. Neil Lennon says Hamilton made it difficult yesterday, was delighted with the late reaction in the game. He says the momentum Celtic's building is brilliant.
Well, first of all, I'm delighted with the result. It's a huge 3 points. Wasn't happy with the first half. I thought Hamilton's structure made it difficult for us. You know, the set up really well organised. And to lose a goal from a set player is very disappointing from our point of view. But, you know, the reaction was very good. You know, the red card, obviously, and the free kick, which Odson executed brilliantly. I don't know how he does it. He's so close in. Normally people take a touch and whack it, but he gets it up and over brilliantly. And then got them in at half time, and we just wanted more tempo. And obviously we knew that Hamilton would be so difficult to break down because they're very good at that. So we had to wait, you know, well for the second goal, but once we got the second one, we knew we'd get a few more. And that's the way the game panned out. So I'm absolutely thrilled. I'm really proud of the players, you know, and the momentum that they've built since the turn of the year has been fantastic.
You don't get many overt displays of emotion from Neil Lennon these days. He's calmed down a lot. But when Celtic's third goal went in and he knew for sure that the points were wrapped up, he's on the park, he's dancing around, and that demonstrated to all and sundry how important he realised that result had been.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Alex, that it was part of a bigger picture. You want to win every game, but there's no doubt that the Celtic players, the management, the fans knew that that was a 3 points picked up the day after Rangers failed to get their three.
Without doubt, we often say that if one of the teams drop points in the day before, it's so important to pick up. I think Neil was actually correct in what he said there. I thought Hamilton went about their business excellent. But you know, they talk about momentum, and if you're continuously chapping on the door, when you look at the second goal, one of the Hamilton midfielders drops the runner from Christie, who was fresh, gave them that impetus. The cross ball, and as you said, Julien's finish is like a striker. I actually thought it was Edouard initially because of the way he just opened it up and naturally finished. Very good finish.
0141 951 1025. Marco is first up tonight. What did you make of it yesterday, Marco?
Yeah, hi guys. I hope you're all keeping well. Yeah, it was really interesting because last week we had quite an amusing discussion about the meaning of the word pivotal. And I actually agreed with you at that point that the Rangers' loss to Hearts wasn't pivotal at that particular point there. But I would suggest that the combination of events has happened since then, including Rangers drawing yesterday and Celtic winning both of their games pretty well, scoring goals in the process. I would argue that actually the combination of events is pivotal, and it will see Celtic lift the title, combined with the fact that they have a much stronger squad in depth, which I think the Rangers are beginning to see their lack of that showing. And that's the point I'd make. And I'd also like to try and make something about Julien, if I could, later as well. Thanks, guys.
With regard to pivotal, Marco, if we accept, as Neil Lennon does, that Rangers will win their game in hand, then essentially it's a 4-point lead, and there are two games between Celtic and Rangers to be played before the end of the season. Therefore, Celtic took a very big stride forward yesterday, and as I said, it was shown when Neil Lennon couldn't contain his delight. But with Rangers having the game in hand and having to play Celtic twice, I can't bring myself to say that yesterday meant that Celtic won the league.
No, of course not. But that said, Alex, in the last week, Celtic picked up 9 points and Rangers picked up 4.
Yeah.
Most people assumed that they would both pick up 9 or thereabouts. So it's clearly been quite a week. Whether Rangers recover and go on to win the league, time will tell.
I'm not
sitting here predicting anything, but I don't think you can deny the swing that's happened in the last 7 days.
Without a shadow of a doubt, if you're losing 5 points of a potential 9, then obviously the swing goes, because I think Celtic's won 5 since they came back in the winter break. So clearly momentum has swung towards Celtic. They're winning, they're scoring goals. Whereas if you look at Rangers, the other side of the coin is that they're not playing particularly well. They're struggling to break teams down. I was thinking about this over the weekend, Gordon, in terms of the way Rangers play. They tend to play with the exact same shape, 4-3-3. They have the wide guys who come in. I'm not exactly sure how long Tavernier, whether they bring him back in on Wednesday. If they don't have Tavernier, I would suggest it'd be better playing 2 out and out wingers and try and mix it up a little bit, trying to do something different, because if you look at the 4 games, they have really struggled to cope with the lack of Tavernier on that right hand side.
We will dig into Rangers' performances in the not too distant future. What else stood out for you yesterday, Marco?
I think basically the obviously going 1-0 down at a ground that we notoriously struggle at. You know, we've just scraped wins there in the last 2 outings. And obviously I thought it was a red card, but I thought that Griffiths was lucky with the tackle. I must admit, I think that really was a red card as well, to be honest with you. But it's just basically Celtic never know when they're beaten. They have a winning mentality. They have the momentum. I haven't seen that with Rangers. And to answer Hugh's point, I would say that there's no evidence at the moment that Rangers are guaranteed to win that game in hand. If they keep on playing the way they are, never mind that, they'll struggle to beat Celtic in the 2 games they've got against them as well, you know. But just to make the point on Julien, if I could, Hugh made a comment, I think the other week as well, about you know, if all the he's not going to have the fact that Celtic played badly in defence because of Subunovic had just come in, and obviously Frimpong was missing and all that. He said because you've got one, you know, £7 million defender playing against another £1 million defender, it doesn't matter how much they cost you. You can put £50 million defenders together. They've got to know each other's style of play and build up a rapport and understanding, you know. These guys had hardly played with each other at all, so you have to take that into account. And in terms of Julien, I agree with you totally in terms of, I think his weakness is getting bullied by a physical attacker, and I think he needs to learn that. But remember, this is just his first season in Scottish football. When Van Dijk came in to Celtic, he was similar in terms of, like, he wasn't always guaranteed not to let in or be caught the cause of silly goals, and he scored at the other end. And that's the point I really want to make. For me, the truly best central defenders in the world not only are good defending, but they score goals, and that's what Van Dijk's doing for Liverpool. Julian's called 6 for Celtic now. I think next season, when he's fully scored and settled into Scottish football, you'll see him turn into the real deal. The guy is the real deal, trust me, you know.
Well, I think that clubs pay, Scottish clubs, in other words Celtic or Rangers, pay £7 million because they expect to get a player who will stand head and shoulders above the rest. And when Julian played at Ibrox in the early part of the season, I said on this programme I felt he had come of age that day, an outstanding game. However, he has been bullied by Lyndon Dykes at Livingston, cost Celtic 3 points, or helped cost Celtic 3 points, and was bullied yesterday by Hamilton Accies, and was badly at fault for the Hamilton Accies goal, and
which he acknowledged actually, didn't he, after the game.
I just think that for £7 million you've got to be better than that. And you know, everyone's quick to say, oh, they hadn't played together, but I mean, they're at a certain level. Simunovic, Julien, they're at a certain level. They should be more than capable of being able to play together at short notice.
At the other end, Alex, and it is very important that Hamilton get the credit they deserved. I actually went along to the game yesterday. Nice change from not having to stare at you two in here in the studio and get to go and see a game. The effort that every one of the players put in, I mean, Gogic in particular, absolutely, was just immense. Just threw his body in front of everything, headered everything away. Was it a case that Celtic's quality in an attacking sense just eventually showed? You can bring on Rogic, you can bring on Christie, you've got Edouard, who's absolutely at the top of his game at the moment.
Gordon, I remember I used to tell you the story about Arsene Wenger. They have a philosophy that they just keep chapping on the door, they keep asking questions, wave after wave after wave, you, and invariably someone switches off. One of the midfielders dropped, Ryan Christie, and I have to commend Neil Lennon in terms of his substitutions. I thought they made a big impact, because when you look at Christie for the second goal, I think it was the one round the face, the all important goal, because at that point that's like a body blow to Hamilton. They've just run out of puff at that stage. And then you look at the ball by Rogic to Edouard, the way to pass, you know, it was just excellent. And he done the rest. All in all, I think it's difficult for them to maintain that with Hamilton.
You also remember Rogic and his contribution. The goal that he made for Odson Edouard was another thing of beauty for Celtic yesterday.
Neil Lennon says he's had to have a word with Lee Griffiths about his discipline, but he doesn't think he stamped on Sam Woods. He says they've been dealt a psychological blow by capitalising on Rangers' draw against Aberdeen.
I didn't think he stamped on him, but he did. He pushed the guy in the chest, and that's not what I want. Ill discipline, or it's not what we're about. We try to keep our discipline as much as we possibly can. So had a word with him, and then he calmed himself down after that.
You did a bit of a jig on the pitch after one of the goals, I think.
It's called relief.
Is that because the significance of this weekend, given the results, also dropping points and all that stuff, is it because of the...
Yeah, you want to capitalise on it and make the most of it. So the third goal, and then you more or less knew that you had the 3 points wrapped up and thoroughly deserved, because we're going to get more of that as the season goes on. Teams being very difficult to break down, and like I said, I didn't think first half were at our best at all, but a lot better second half. I just think psychologically it's good. I'm thinking it's 4 points rather than 7, because I would assume that the opposition would win the game in hand. So it's the first little buffer we've had for quite a while.
Brian Rice, though, says there's no debate. Lee Griffiths should have been sent off. He says the decision changed the complexity of the game.
Big decision with the referee changed the game. I thought my boys performed heroically. It won nothing. Everything we worked on, our team shape, everything was good. I felt okay. I think it was very, very harsh how it ended up. But Celtic ended up with 7 attacking players in the field of real quality. And my boys gave, they defended stoutly. But the biggest turning point is definitely the refereeing decision. I think one little decision led into another, but it's only my opinion. I don't think there's any debate it was a red card with Red Griffiths. Lee Griffiths. There's no debate, but my opinion doesn't matter, and the only person's opinion that matters is the referee, and the referee has called it his way. He's seen it, so we just move on. You know, he may look at it and think, oh, I've made a mistake there. Or he may look at it and think, no, I've got that right. I just, in my humble opinion, I don't think there's any debate. We were coping really well, and instead of it being 11-10 for us, it ended up 10-11. That decision from the referee, in my opinion, changed the whole complexity of the game.
Gerry, you're a Celtic fan in Bothwell. What do you make of that incident? Are you sticking up for Lee Griffiths, or are you agreeing with Brian Rice?
No, not at all. Lee Griffiths stamped in a guy. I think Neil Lennon was watching a different game for us yesterday. I'm very disappointed in Lee Griffiths after him just getting into the team after a while off. He could have caused us maybe a draw yesterday, or maybe even getting beat, because he'd be suspended if he was sent off. But I'm really disappointed, because I think it was a pure lack of discipline.
Hugh Keevan's, like all of these incidents, very much a divisive one. Yeah. Brian Rice says there's no debate.
There's
certainly a debate.
There's nothing but. Yes.
Was it a red for you, yes or no?
Yes. And I would say, Gerry, thank you very much for being so honest as a Celtic supporter and stating that, in your opinion, as a Celtic supporter, he could and should have walked. I would simply say this, Gerry, that had it been the other way around and Lee Griffiths had been the person on the ground, the Celtic supporters, to a man, woman and child, would have been outraged and would have called for a red card and would have called for all sorts, for Claire White to get involved and all the rest of it. It for me, was totally unnecessary. He didn't have to do it, and I'm not buying all this stuff about the player was holding his foot and had to adjust his, and all the other stuff. He didn't have to do it, and it was a reckless gesture that, as Gerry said, could have had consequences for Celtic on the day.
Alex, do you agree, red or yellow?
I had it as a stamp as well. Listen, Jerry's come on tonight and give his opinion as well, and I think that's a kind of common sense as well. For Neil Lennon to say that there was no stamp at all was a wee bit baffling, because he's clearly come down and caught the guy. Well,
the referee agrees, presumably.
Well, I'd be interested to see what the referee's report says, Gordon, because I think he's actually been booked for the push. Now, we don't know that just now, but we'll know that within another 24 hours.
What is it about it then? Because you guys are, you're very convinced, Jerry's convinced.
As was Marco.
Yeah, so the referee obviously wasn't on the day. I noticed, and I'm pretty consistent on this, every time we bring this up, Dermot Gallagher on the TV,
yeah,
you don't have to agree with him. I know he's a ref. It is just one man's opinion, but the reason I mention it is because he said it was a yellow.
Yeah.
I believe the referee on BT Sport at the time said it was a yellow. What is it about it then that might have,
well, that's why I've
been different from what you think.
That's why I'm so glad that Gerry is a Celtic supporter.
Yeah, but see, to be fair, none of that really matters, because we're just talking about people's eyesight. Jerry thinks it was a yellow, whether he's a Celtic fan or not. But there are clearly a number of qualified individuals who don't think it was a red. Why?
Yeah.
Why might that be? What's the other side of it that we're not analysing?
I can't tell why they don't think it was a red card. I just think that it was unnecessary. I do think it was a disproportionate use of force.
See, that's probably the key issue, isn't it? Because whether it was necessary or not is quite frankly irrelevant. It does come down to the force. So, you know, was there excessive force? And that's the bit, to be honest, Hugh, that we'll never agree on. The referee, presumably, or the referees that I mentioned, they don't think it was excessive force, and that's why they gave out a yellow. You think it was. It probably does come down to that.
Gordon, I'm not trying to murk the waters here. See, when you look at, if he was booked for the push, Nick Walsh.
See, to be fair, because we are short on time, that is muddying the waters a bit, because I'd rather deal with that one.
He might not think it's a yellow.
But the other two that I mentioned did. Let's talk about the stamp, because that did muddy the waters.
Yep.
So if in the days that come we find out that the yellow was for the push, fine. But what I'm talking about, the alleged stamp, if you like.
Yeah, I said to you earlier on, see, when you actually get one, when you actually get stood on the ribs in terms of force, it's brutal, because you have no protection there at all. You actually see the boy writhing in pain when he lands on top of him. So that kind of gave me an indication.
Again, just to play devil's advocate though, I would always encourage refs to not look at players' reactions, because you see the way players react. That doesn't sound like a very sensible way to judge a decision.
Well, like all big decisions, it will divide public opinion. I don't believe that because two former referees say it was a yellow.
Yeah, like I say, that I didn't bring that up to suggest that was gospel.
No, it was just, and again, I go back, Gerry is not one of them. Gerry a lot of Celtic supporters would, if a referee said of a Celtic player that was a red card, they would say, ah, all part of a conspiracy.
Gerry, we're running a bit late, but I want to give you the final say.
I just thought it looked really bad, and he did stamp on the guy. There's no doubt about it. He did stamp on him.
Okay.
And I don't know why he'd done it. Just a mad moment.
Okay, that was Gerry in Bothwell, 01419511025. Big result at Ibrox on Saturday. Rangers fans, where did it go wrong? Where did it go wrong over the last 7 days or so? Give us your thoughts.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Johnny's on Twitter at Clyde SSB. He says, if any of the panel want to read the rules, they'll see Griffiths wasn't a red card. You'll see by how this plays out. If in doubt, check back other incidents. The act needs to have excessive force. It didn't, so not enough for a red. Move on, says Johnny. Graham, on the other hand, says, had Griffiths been sent off, it would have changed the way the game played out, as we saw at Livingston. He wins the free kick. Hamilton go down to 10 men, giving Celtic the advantage. I'm quite keen to make sure we get round all the talking points. A couple of incidents we didn't mention before. Any complaints about Hamilton's red card?
Not for me.
By the letter of the law, I thought that Hamilton might have been reduced to 9 men. I thought the tackle on Callum McGregor was naughty. Could have done him a real damage, and the referee did not agree with me on that one either.
Was that just an unfortunate case, Alex, of sort of maybe young and inexperienced defending? There's clearly not a lot in. Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst challenge you'll see.
No,
but
not at all.
Where he is on the pitch,
listen, there's no complaints whatsoever. I think he gets caught. I think he's inexperienced. You have to give Griffiths plenty of credit as well. He uses his body brilliantly to roll him, and the young man's just caught wrong side, pulled him down. No complaints.
Okay, let's look back on events at Ibrox on Saturday. Rangers fans, where did it go wrong? Quite simply, that's the question for you. Stephen Gerrard says they're missing a spark in the final third. He says they need to get it back quickly, and the left wing missed chances.
I think as a whole there wasn't too much wrong with it. I think we threw everything we had at it. I think we're missing a spark in the final third, and not just today. I think over the four games since we've come back, there seems to be a bit of a spark missing in our final third play. Having said that, we still had some big moments in the game. I remember one first half when we're in down the right, 2v1, Alfredo's got to find Ryan Kent, who could have a free shot at goal. That was a big moment in the first half that we should have scored from. And then obviously Alfredo's chance, 99 times out of 100, he normally wins us the game in that situation. So, but I do feel like there's a spark missing in the final third. We need to try and find our spark and get back to the level we were at before the break. That's the key, that's the most important thing. And we need to keep going. We need to keep going because I believe there will be more twists and turns. So, as far as I'm concerned, we keep going, we keep pushing. But I need my players to find the spark. There's a few people around the squad at the moment that are capable of helping us find that spark. They need to come with us. They need to come with us.
Hugh, that would be a big disappointment on its own. Never mind at the end of a week where you've already lost at heart. So you can see why there is a frustration building up.
Yeah, the big moment is Goldson's terrific ball to Alfredo Morelos. Yep. And as Stephen Gerrard said, 99 times out of 100 it's a goal. But for whatever reason, he did not have a good game, Morelos. But Derek McInnes could say, my striker had two golden opportunities in the first half. One when Katic fell asleep in the centre circle. The other when Niall McGinn found Sam Cosgrove with a terrific ball across the face of the goal. And on both occasions, Cosgrove came up short. So I think both managers could say, with a bit more accuracy in front of goal, we could have won that game.
Yeah, I think when you look at Rangers and say come back for the winter break, there's been a kind of very, very flat, Gordon, middle to front. They haven't created a great deal. They haven't had any fluency. All the players that we waxed lyrical about over the course of the opening half of the season, you know, they don't seem to be doing it. Davis, Kamara off the boil as well. You look at, Morelos has been out for a month. You look at Kent. There's plenty. Then you get the guys coming off the bench. They're not firing. I think Steven Gerrard, and I think they play Celtic on the 15th of March. Mm-hmm. I would hazard a guess Rangers can't drop any points before then.
Alan is in Drumchapel. Alan, where is it going wrong at the moment?
I think Rangers, well, all right, they're actually quite all right. See, when they have the ball around the middle, I just don't like this backward passing as well. But see, when the only two shots I remember Aberdeen having.
I think they had a few headers as well. Did you know of McGregor pulled a couple of headers off as well?
But apart from that, most of the game, when Aberdeen were mostly in their own half, basically like defending, Rangers are. I'm thinking Rangers are not. They're not getting outplayed. A plan for them to break down these defences. They know they're just going to keep sitting back all the time, and that's what's causing Rangers to pass back a lot, and they're getting around the outside of the 18.
The thing is, Alan, these teams do this against Celtic as well. You have to find a way to break down packed defences now, because what's happening is a lot of people are just putting two banks, five and a four. St Mirren did it a couple of weeks ago, made it very difficult. You look at the weekend, Aberdeen get numbers back. You have to find a way. That's the reason why I'm saying middle to front, Rangers have to be a lot more inventive. I think if Tavernier can come back in on Wednesday against Hibs, that gives him another option, because he brings so much to the team going forward. So I think you have to give the opposition credit, but Rangers need to find ways of unlocking defences.
And at the same time, Hugh, Alan says, apart from that, you would put at least three of those Aberdeen chances in the absolute top bracket.
Oh, yeah.
Not quite sitters, but really good chances. Cosgrove's two, and then probably Ash Taylor's header. You would have to say. So it's all right saying, apart from that, those are three pretty big chances.
Exactly. Aberdeen came down knowing that they needed a performance. After the goalless draw at St Mirren, the verbal abuse given to Derek McInnes, they knew they needed a performance. And any one of those chances, if Aberdeen had, if you like, stolen the game, then they'd have gone up the road very, very happy indeed. But Sam Cosgrove, at the moment, off the boil, the only goal he scored recently was from a penalty against Dumbarton in the Scottish Cup. His miss from Niall McGinn was pretty poor. And the robbing of Katic in the middle of the park should have resulted in a goal, but his touch was unbelievably heavy, and it gave Alan McGregor the chance to save.
Well, if we're trying to pinpoint where it's going wrong, Stephen Gerrard says he's finding it hard to do just that. He says it's not a problem with fitness or quality. Not quite sure what the issue is.
Difficult to put your finger on it, because we look into all this and it's not fitness, it's not talent. I'm struggling to put my finger on that right now. But this is the first time we've had a shot on our goal since we've come back. So maybe it's more on us to find our spark and have more invention in the final third. Could easily be sitting here talking about a 1-0 win, but we haven't took our big moments. The big moment in the first half, we never took it. And the big moment we had in the second half. I don't think you're going to get a lot of moments against Aberdeen, the way they play, their organisation. We were aware of that, but we still had big moments in the game to win it. Unfortunately, we never took them.
Stephen Gerrard can't pinpoint where it's all going wrong. Craig is on the line. Are you going to give it a bash?
How you doing, gents? It's beggar's belief, really, because last season, exact same thing was happening. Came back for the winter break and had an absolute meltdown. The difference though between this season and last season is that after the defeat to Kilmarnock, they did react and they did go and get three wins in a row. This year we've came back, we've had five games, every single one of them it has not been good enough in. We've been lucky that in the season we were playing lesser teams who you can maybe afford not to play good against and you'll still get the win. But the two tougher challenges, and I do still think, although they've had a poor season, I still do think Tynecastle's not an easy place to go. So you're never nailed on for a guaranteed 3 points there, but we were certainly expecting it. But for me, this is why I think questions have to be asked to Gerrard as well, because what is he saying to the players? What is he doing in the training ground? Because whatever it is right now, it isn't working. He talks about a spark being missing with the players. He had a go at the players after the Hearts game. It's one thing saying about the players and calling them bottlers and all the rest of it, but he himself has to take some responsibility, because I don't know why he can't seem to get the message through to the players that they have got to step up and play the way they were playing and get results. There's no point beating Celtic if every time you beat them, you just completely undo it by losing results. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, Neil Lennon yesterday running in the park celebrating the way he did. I mean, Gerrard was getting all sorts of criticism for Celtic fans and other people for his celebration after beating Celtic. The league isn't over, you know, but it's certainly back in Celtic's hands until such time as
I think if you had listened to what Neil Lennon said after the game, and we've played the clip tonight as well, Neil Lennon said that was sheer relief. He used the word relief because at one stage in the afternoon, Celtic did not look as if they were going to get as comprehensive a win as they did get. So Neil Lennon's not showboating, he's not shoving anything in anyone's face. He admitted it was purely and simply relief. Now, Steven Gerrard, it's gone pear-shaped in the last couple of weeks, but when Steven Gerrard walked off the park on December 29 at Celtic, he was a hero in the eyes of the Rangers supporters. At the moment, they've hit a real bump in the road here, and it's how they come back against Hibs, and they need to come back against Hibs, because if anything happens in that game, then there really is trouble, because there's no doubt the pressure has grown on Steven Gerrard, because I don't think for one moment that he's saying it's all about these players, nothing to do with me, mate. I think he knows, and he must also know, been here nearly 2 years, he must also know that the pressure is growing on him now.
If you were to rhyme off the suggestions that you hear, Alex, for potential reasons, some people hear this and say excuse, but no, there's a reason. There must be a reason as to why Rangers form isn't good at the moment. Dubai, you hear it, you know, winter break, we always do it. We come back from Dubai 2 years in a row, form not as good. Is it the absence of James Tavernier? Is it an over-reliance on Alfredo Morelos, combined with the fact then that maybe there are other individuals who are not
playing at the level,
contributing in an attacking sense the way that they should?
I think it's a combination of all, Gordon, because the thing is, Morelos, if he'd have come back, hadn't got suspended, you know, he'd probably been as sharp as he would have done when he left. The fact of the matter is, he's had to wait for a month. That probably resulted in the weekend being a bit sluggish. You look at Tavernier, a big miss. And these are key players. Now, you listen to Steven Gerrard there, says the fitness is not an issue. You know, you look at that. That clearly talented boys have performed before that. For the life of me, I can't understand now.
When he says that, because fans will watch and say, you know, we don't look at it, we don't look like we've got the same intensity. Can we assume that when he says categorically it's not fitness, that's because their GSP, sports science guys are running the numbers and don't see any difference?
For me, the only difference is that they're actually not creating, Gordon. They looked as if they're going through the motions more so than anything. So I don't know if that's a mental side of things, but what I do know is they're actually struggling badly to carve teams open. If they don't get a goal earlier, the anxiety happens around about Ibrox as well, where people moaning and groaning, which you're entitled to do because they obviously want to see and expect to win. But as I said earlier on, Gordon, if they drop points between now and Old Firm, it becomes extremely difficult on the 15th of March. And the key thing for them now is they need to go on a run. I think Craig said that last year. They reacted. They have to do it now. They've got a run of games that look relatively favourable. They've got to go to Kilmarnock. They've got Hibs. And then I've got a couple of teams with the greatest respect to them. You expect Rangers to win. But if they drop points between now and then, if you think pressure's bad now, then it will mount.
We're going to have to leave it there because we need to get some travel with Stephen, and that means it's the perfect time for you to get in touch. 01419511025, and we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans is here, Alex Ray is alongside him, and they're trying their best to tackle some of the big talking points from an action-packed weekend in Scottish football. Give us a call, let us know what you think, or if you would rather tweet, then you can do it at Clyde SSB. Gordon's a Celtic fan up next. He's in Kilmacombe. What did you make of the weekend's action, Gordon?
Hey, we're more points away from our nearest rival, so I'm delighted. Just a wee quick point, just before I come on there. I was listening to Alex Ray talking about Morelos, if he hadn't been suspended and all that, but that's what the rest of your team are supposed to know. One of our best players, Christy, was out for 3 games, banned as well, and the rest of the team have got to pick up the slack, the way I look at it. No, I mean, but we're always trying to say not one player relies on that in your team, you know what I mean? And if it does you shouldn't have that way, because you know, a team like Rangers or a team like Celtic, they should have enough resources that they should get two or three players out.
I wonder if Gordon was listening to us during the break, Alex. It's made me a bit suspicious, because that's kind of what we said actually just during the break, was that that maybe is an issue for
strength
Rangers
depth,
at the moment.
Yeah,
is that
well, listen,
having
I think
other guys who can contribute?
Gordon makes a valid point. I think when you look at Celtic, they have so many options available to them, but I think if you said over the course of the next 2 months, if you to take one player out of each team, which would have a big, the biggest impact would be Edouard and Morelos. I think that's a given. And unfortunately, my argument was that because he was out for a month, he was a bit slack at the weekend. You know, obviously Defoe came in, scored in I think one or two of the games, but against Hearts he was a bit off it. So
the strength and depth for me is exemplified by the fact that at 1-1, 15 minutes to go, on come Hayes, Christie, Rogic, and all are involved in what happens thereafter. Hayes to Christie to Julien, 2-1. Rogic to Edouard, 3-1. And that's the kind of strength and depth, middle to front, Celtic have that. I still think that they have a lot of work to do at the back defensively, but there was the strength and depth. The three subs come on and the three subs changed the whole game.
Back to you, Gordon.
Yeah, 100%. And I know Hughes, you know, when I listened to the start tonight, they're coming on about who was the best goal, who's the whatever you want to call it, the miss of the day. And it was like, you know, Julian's, he's admitted like it's his first season with us. He scored 6 goals, you know what I mean? And I think that you know, they're talking about Hugh was saying about a £7 million player, they should be a lot better than that. Yeah, we all make mistakes. I remember Van Dijk with Liverpool, I think he caused a goal last season. We all make, and he's 50, 60 million. I think we'll all get these days, you know what I mean? You could say the same with Morelos, he should have scored the goal. You put his house on, everybody else said that. He's allegedly up at the 30 or whatever, you know what I mean? So we all have our bad days. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We come back to the win the game, the 3 points, and that was my point about phoning on earlier on. Was just to say that what's happening with it now, we're dissecting every single game. Celtic won, and now we're talking about Griffiths. The referee never got it, whether it's right or wrong. I looked at it, I was watching a sports scene last night, and one of the pundits once said it was a start, and one said it wasn't because he caught his foot. I never seen it when I was watching the game, so that you've got to think of the referee. I don't think he'd done it deliberate. I don't really know.
You'll have seen it back now though, Gordon. What's your gut telling you? And listen, it doesn't really matter either way, because Jerry, your fellow Celtic fan, was on earlier and he thought it was a red card. So
Listen, I remember Morelos came in and stamped in about 2 or 3 players and never get booked for any of them. So all these things happen. It's not great for the football. We've still got a player out, Frimpong, who got just a tackle. It was a hard tackle. That's all it was, a hard tackle. The guy's been out for 2 or 3 games. He's not, I don't know when he's going to come back in again.
So was that a yes or a no to a red card for
no,
Lee
I
Griffiths?
No, I don't think it was a stamp. No, I don't
okay.
think it was.
That's fine.
Maybe a yellow the most, because you see his body kind of bending down. If it was a stamp, he'd have kept his body straight and stamped him. He wouldn't have been a wee bent down as well. I don't know. I don't think he's that clever to do it that quick. But I just think we're taking things out. Let's Celtic won the game, and other teams, whatever, let's start talking about it. We don't have to dissect every single game, you know what I mean? It's just crazy. And I've watched a bit, just when I was listening to you guys and trying to go on the phone, and I'm on Sky, and Morelos is on talking about this thing in Sky and about the Celtic players or this and that. It's nonsense. It's just, it happens at every game. It's not good. I'm not condoning it at all, but come on and say things like that. We're not talking about football anymore.
This season was always going to be like that, to be fair. This is the most important season, I would argue, of all time where Celtic and Rangers are concerned, because Celtic are desperate for 9 in a row for the second time in the club's history, and because 9 could lead to 10. Rangers are desperate to head Celtic off at the pass. They don't want to see 9, and they certainly don't want to see 10. Therefore, every game is dissected, and every incident is gone into in forensic detail. That's just the way it is just now, and
it's not going anywhere soon.
The train has left the station on that one.
Let's speak to Jerry in Erskine. He's also a Celtic fan. What did you make of it at the weekend, Jerry? Thanks to Gordon on the other line.
Hi, good evening, guys. Thanks.
Hi, Jerry.
This is another Jerry. You were talking. Hugh was talking about the back line at Celtic. Now, if if Neil's going to persist with the 3-5-2 situation, that means then that you would have to have an extra one or two centre backs. Now, I was looking at the transfer, the final listings for the transfer window just closed, and I've never heard anyone speaking about it. But Benkovic, believe it or not, correct, Benkovic went to.
I've been talking about it, Jerry.
Were you?
I was speaking about it today. You're absolutely right, because I think he was one that was kind of. I know that Celtic were trying to get another centre half in, and with the greatest respect to Bristol City, Celtic are by far, they offer so much more. 60,000 fans, they play in the Europe as well, compete for trophies, and I thought that would be an absolute stick on.
That's a fair point, Hugh, because you thought that Celtic needed an extra defender during the window, purely because you're not sold on the ones that are currently there. But even if you push that to one side and you play a simple numbers game, Neil Lennon may well progress with using three central defenders rather than two. And we saw young Stephen Welsh come in, make his debut yesterday, did pretty well. In fact, did very well. Neil Lennon was happy with him. So I wonder if we'll see more of him as time goes on.
I'm glad you mentioned Stephen Welsh. I thought he did the basics very well. Unfussy. He's no Jeremy Frimpong. He just gets
it's
his
a
job
role,
done.
Isn't
he? Yeah, I know, but he just gets his job done. And he didn't put a foot wrong. And to be on loan at Morton and suddenly be recalled by Celtic, he coped with it all very well. I just think that at Motherwell, for example, on Wednesday night, Celtic will come under a lot of pressure. Ayer and Julien have to be more resolute than they were at Hamilton yesterday. More resolute than they were against Ross County, where if Ross County had taken their chances at Celtic Park, Celtic might have been out of the game by half time.
Where is the hope for these sides though? Because you mentioned two games, and you're probably right, a lot of Celtic fans would agree with you. Two games that Celtic still went on to win by three goals.
Yeah, I said to you on Saturday, Gordon, that now that the mercury in the thermometer is rising, now that the tension is getting to the stage where everyone is gripped by it, psychological strength is going to be very important. And yesterday, with 20 minutes to go, it was still 1-1 at Hamilton, and Celtic playing 10 men. And you wondered if they could actually slip up. But then Hayes, Christie, Rogic all come on. Celtic were relentless and remorseless, and they just eventually broke down Hamilton. So they had the strength, the mental strength to see it through. And they will need it again at Motherwell, because you cannot be certain about any game now.
Well, you were quite certain the Rangers would win their game in hand earlier on, were you not?
When push gets to shove, I mean, if Rangers don't win their game in hand under the circumstances which prevail at the moment, as Alex said, they have got to play Celtic while not dropping any points between now and the meeting with Celtic in March.
Jerry, my apologies, we're going to have to leave it there because we're already late for this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We kicked off looking back on most, I think. Yeah. We didn't get round them all. Most of the weekend's big talking points. The dropping of points by Rangers at Ibrox, Celtic winning yesterday, the alleged stamp by Lee Griffiths. Just a few of the topics you might want to get involved with. We're about to hear from Jack Ross as well. He's had his say, his comeback, if you like, to Florian Camberi's comments about always wanting to play for Rangers. So we'll hear them after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevans is ready, Alex Ray is ready, and one of them will take on Stuart from Greenock. How are you tonight, Stuart?
Not too bad, yourself?
Not too bad at all, Stuart. Have you played Beat the Pundit before?
I get beat off Alec Ray the last time, so hoping to get revenge on him.
Maybe some revenge on the cards. We'll toss the coin anyway. It might be Hugh Keevans who gets your wrath. We'll find out. If it's heads, it is Hugh. If it's tails, it is Alex Ray. And I'm afraid you'll have to wait for revenge. It is Hugh Keevans against Stuart from Greenock. So I'm going to give Hugh something else to listen to. Maybe give you some Clyde too. There we go. He's giving me the nod. Stuart, you've got 30 seconds head to head with Hugh. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Yep.
Let's do it. Which English side did Neil Lennon end his playing career with?
Bolton.
Which Rangers player wears number 31?
Scott Arfield.
What's the name of St Johnston's home ground?
McDermott Park.
Which Hamilton player was sent off yesterday?
Hamilton.
How many yards from the goal line is the penalty spot?
12 yards.
Which Russian team did Gary O'Connor play with after leaving Hibs in his first spell?
Spartak Moscow.
Which Kilmarnock player scored a double on Saturday?
Eamon Brophy.
Okay, let's bring Hugh back. Can you hear us, Hugh?
I can.
You can, great. Same set of questions to you. Are you ready?
Off we go.
Let's do it. Which English team did Neil Lennon finish his playing career with?
Leicester.
Which Rangers player wears number 31?
Pass.
What is the name of St Johnston's home ground?
McDermott Park.
Which Hamilton player was sent off yesterday?
Jamie Hamilton.
How many yards from the goal line is the penalty spot?
12.
Which Russian team did Gary O'Connor play with after leaving Hibs in his first spell?
Moscow Lokomotiv.
Which Kelly player scored a double on Saturday?
Brophy.
With which team did Jack Ross win the Scottish Second Division in 2000?
St Mirren.
Okay. What do you think, Stuart?
Close call. I think he's just beat me there.
I think it is close. Which English team did Neil Lennon finish his playing career with? It was actually Wickham.
It was Wickham.
So he was at Forest and then finished off at Wickham. Only, I think, about a dozen games or so. Which Rangers player wears 31?
Kent.
Barisic. The name of St Johnston's home ground is McDermott Park. You both finally got one right, so it's 1-1. It became 2-2. Which Hamilton player was sent off yesterday? It was Jamie Hamilton. How many yards from the goal line is the penalty spot on a football pitch, Stuart?
12 yards.
And what did you say?
6 at first, but no,
he said 6 at first. I can't believe it. Hugh Keevan's got it. Goes in a 3-2 lead. Which Russian team did Gary O'Connor play with? Lokomotiv Moscow, I think we'll give you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me, something's stuck in my throat. What did you say, Moscow Lokomotiv?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll still give you it. And Eamon Brophy scored the double. Jack Ross actually won the second division with Clyde back in 2000. So 1, 2, 3, 5, 3 to Hugh Keevans. He's shown us the imaginary name on the back of his shirt, Stuart. That's how delighted he is. Hardline Stuart.
All right, cheers.
Good man, right. That was Stuart in Greenock. What other results jumped out at you from the weekend?
Hibs got a good St Mirren got a good draw at Easter Road, I thought. Kilmarnock broke a long run of failure, 7 league defeats on the bounce, and then finally beat Ross County. Arguably the game of the weekend was the 3-3 draw at McDermott Park. You know, it was a real, I think we're going to get a lot of fun out of Daniel Stendel and this Hearts team. They might have moments where they go off the boil, but they fought back, and Sean Clare scored a really good goal, Alex. Yeah. So I think this guy could give us a lot of fun.
The one thing that you can say about the Hearts boys is they're fighting at the moment. You know, they're all competing, they're trying to get points on the board. I think the recent form suggests that they're going on in the right direction. I think the Boyce and Naismith, you also have Halkett and Souter at the back. I think they're going to be fine.
We'll maybe dig into some of those talking points in the not too distant future. We're here until 8 o'clock, so plenty of time to get your calls in. We're about to hear from Jack Ross on Florian Camberry. Let's take a call from Kevin and Croftfoot first. Hi Kevin.
How you doing, man?
Not too bad, Kevin. What's on your mind tonight?
All I've seen all over the papers is about the alleged stamp for Griffiths. I don't think enough's getting made about the challenge on Callum McGregor. I think that was a straight red. That was a horrible challenge.
Hugh Keevans, I think, agrees with you
for
what it's worth.
I mentioned it earlier in the programme. You might have been on your way home, Kevin, but I did say I thought it was a naughty challenge. I thought it could have done Callum McGregor a serious bit of harm. But the referee did not agree. But let's just say I think that Callum McGregor avoided a nasty one there, and I thought the tackle was nasty.
Yeah, I think McGowan didn't hold anything back, Gordon. The thing is, he got the ball. Had he really left the ground, I think he was in control at that stage. But he clearly catches him the follow through, and an interpretation is down to the ref whether he thinks that's a yellow or a red.
McGregor, to his eternal credit, never gone, misses matches. Everyone knows that he plays more games than anybody. And when I saw his reaction, you know, he really felt it. And as I say, he's not a guy that gives in easily. I just thought it was a naughty, nasty challenge.
Kevin, what was your own take on the Lee Griffiths one?
I wouldn't have been surprised if it was a red. Seen it at the time, I said to myself, that could be a red. But I don't think it's as serious as the slow-mos make it look. I don't think there's any intent there for Griffiths. I just think he's never else to put his foot.
Well, we could argue about this all night. And, you know, it's just a fact of life that a big incident occurs on a Sunday match and we discuss it tonight. After tonight, not worth talking about.
Until he is or is not retrospectively dealt with, we don't know yet. We've had more than our fair share of surprises on that front.
If head office gets involved, then I look forward to Friday because it'll be my fault in some way. But, you know, it's what we do. As I say, this is the biggest season ever in the conflict between Celtic and Rangers, and everything that either of them does is dissected.
If I can try my best to sort of sit in the fence and view it from there, Alex, what I think the last couple of seasons has taught us, and I think Kevin actually uses a phrase which should resonate with most people, is that you actually wouldn't be surprised either way. That's kind of the way I feel about it, and I'm not here to give my opinion. Nobody really cares what I think. It's about what you two think. But because we've seen so many different incidents, and because we pore over them in forensic detail, and because we dig into the rules and we hear phrases like excessive force, it still just comes down to someone's interpretation, because one man's excessive force is not another man's excessive force. So he probably wouldn't be surprised either way.
Gordon, you can go round in circles with here. It's just about your interpretation of time. The circumstances always vary because of the different kind of natures of the tackle or the coming together. So listen, we could go round in circles all day long. You know, there'll be people saying it wasn't, some will say it was. But it'll be interesting to see what the referee's report is in the next 24 hours.
Kevin, on a footballing perspective, does that feel like a big weekend, an important weekend, with Rangers dropping points again and then Celtic managing to maintain their impressive start to the year?
Yeah, I think it was huge. I called up last week when Hugh said that there was no advantage to Celtic being a few points in front, with Rangers still having a game in hand. It'd be interesting to see his thoughts this week if they think Celtic's got the advantage now.
I have always said that since the return from the winter break, Celtic have gathered the whip hand. Celtic have the whip hand. That's why Neil Lennon was so delighted with what took place at Hamilton yesterday. But I don't accept that the league's over, and neither would Neil Lennon, and neither would Scott Brown, and neither would any Celtic player. You won't get anyone coming out saying that's it, done and dusted.
But in fairness to the callers, I don't think anyone's asking you to say that it's done and dusted. Not one single person has asked that. We're just talking about the advantage, the swing, the momentum, things like that.
The momentum is with Celtic, and then Wednesday night we'll go in again, and Celtic have to maintain the momentum. Rangers have to get back on track. And if Celtic maintain the momentum and Rangers don't get back on track, then big trouble for Steven Gerrard. But Wednesday is another day.
It's a massive month, isn't it, Hugh? I think there's seven games to go this month as well. How people cope, how, you know, the players physically adapt to it all. But again, momentum's everything.
Rangers fans, you got a brief glimpse of the likes of Yanis Hadji and Florian Kamberi at the weekend. Did you see anything that you liked, anything that you didn't like in those brief spells? Why not share it with us? Because Jack Ross says Florian Kamberi has made his return to Hibs much more challenging after comments he made when he joined Rangers. The striker said it was a dream move. He called the Ibrox fans the best in the world, and these were remarks that, safe to say, surprised his Hibs manager.
They're unusual for a player who still has a length of time to go to his parent club and is only on loan. But each and every player behaves in a different way, and each and every player chooses their own words. And so he's chosen his words, and it's him that's delivered them. It's not like he's been misquoted. So, you know, at the moment, I can put that to the side because my focus is on the players that are here and the ones that I get to work with and the ones that I can try and get the best from.
Will it be difficult, though, for him to come back?
I think it made it much more challenging. I think he said that himself. I read other quotes attributed to him that he's acknowledged that. I mean, I think that's fairly obvious because I think, as I said, I think he's Maybe he could have chosen his words more carefully in the first instance, and then he wouldn't have put himself in a more difficult position potentially.
Supporters in this country, and I won't talk about supporters in other countries because we're only talking about Super Scoreboard here in Scotland. Supporters in this country have a low tolerance threshold. What Florian Camberi has said will not endear him to the Hibs fans. I think it's an insult also to Leanne Dempster, who is the chief executive there, who went out on a limb, took Florian Camberi's side against Neil Lennon, lost herself a manager, not the smartest move ever, kept Camberi. Now he goes on loan and says that it was always his dream from the second game he played in Scotland to play for Rangers. I don't think he can go back as a Hibs player.
He's finished. You can't go back to a club having said that. You know, it's your dream and the biggest and all the stuff that he actually said. For me, I think he's calculated what he's done. Now, he has to put all this talking to one side. He has to make an impact at Rangers to try and lure Rangers in to buy him permanently in the summer. If he does not, he will then move on to another club because there's no way the Hibs fans will take to him again after what he said.
When Jack Ross says his return will be much more challenging, that's football's way of saying not a hope.
Jack Ross, a very calculated manager. I liked how he just called them unusual, and the return would be a bit more challenging.
Yeah.
I like that euphemisms.
That's a coded message. He's done here.
01419511025. Those are the numbers you need. John is a Rangers fan on the line. John, I think we only saw Camberi for about 7 or 8 minutes. Hadji for about 15. Was there enough there to see glimpses of what lies ahead?
No, interesting talking about it at the moment.
Oh, sorry, John. My apologies. Sorry.
Just being honest and truthful with you. No, I mean, you're asking me to talk about two players.
What's your point, John?
My point is, Alex, and I heard Hugh Keevans, my Celtic supporters, stick to talking about their own team. That's to start with, okay? Not interested in talk. I talk about my team.
What are you interested in talking about, John?
My middle of the park. My manager, who says he doesn't know what's going wrong, right? Time somebody put some up their backside and realise Davis, Aribo, Ojo, I mean, if he's getting £500,000, which is committing a record, he came back to Liverpool, by the way. Right, he was on that park for 20 minutes. I think he must have touched the ball about 3 times. If we don't get a finger out of our backside, and it's time people talk the truth, we have not come back to the winter break. Whatever reason, I don't care if there's 10 men behind the ball or whatever, they're getting paid good money to entertain. Aberdeen, how does they end up in the park with 11 men is beyond me. Andrew Dallas, but we can moan about him. He was absolutely shocking. He waved his horn in Malayalis' face as if he's a stupid wee boy. If he'd done that, mean us out of there, I'd tell you what, I would go like to him. But that's no mean excuses. We are not performing. And Gerrard says he doesn't know what's wrong. Well, that's his job, to find out and produce it. We're paying good top dollar to watch that.
I think you're right. You're right in terms of, listen, they've had plenty of praise. You know, you look at the midfield, Arfield, Davis, Kamara. Ryan Jack's obviously injured at the moment.
I mean, you could bring Hadji in there, but John doesn't want to talk about him. So
it's too early for that. Let's just keep it simple at the moment. But the three players are not performing to the level they were prior to, I'm saying that, I don't think Arfield was featuring prior to that. I think it was Ryan Jack that was in there. They have to do so much better. They have to drive the team forward. And then the front three have to produce more. As I said, I would expect Tavernier to come back in sooner rather than later. If he's 60-70% fit, throw him in because he's such a big influence on that right
side. You're not alone, John. I feel like it's never unanimous because that's not really the way it works. People have always got differing opinions, but there seems to be a lot of criticism for the lack of contribution that Shea Ojo's making, and that's a name that you mentioned.
See what you're saying there? Don't bring Tavernier in there. I'm not Tavernier's biggest fan.
With the greatest respect, John, listen, he's a stick on. He's the best right back in the league. And you see his assists, you see his general play. They're missed him badly. So I think you've got that one wrong.
But don't bring him into it, right? Because we're looking for the middle of the park, right? We need the middle of the park, we need the forwards, right? Ryan, see playing against Aberdeen. I'm not joking, right? Aberdeen kicked everything that moved, right? That's football. You get it. I kicked people in the football park. But how they're getting away with it with some of the referees is absolutely beyond a joke. But we have to be able to create.
You have to eliminate the refereeing. You have to win games as well so that you can't have to rely on a referee making a decision or not, because We see it time after time. There's mistakes for all the teams. So try and win a game on your own merit. Don't try and keep blaming the ref.
What evidence do you have of Aberdeen trying to kick you off the park?
What evidence? Were you at the game, Hugh?
No, I'm asking you for evidence.
Right, what evidence? Right, first of all, Shane Logan must have about three of our players and never even get spoke to. Right, never get spoke to. If it's two centre halves, the left back kicked everything that moved. Every time Kent get the ball, he's back to goal. Kent was hobbling every time because every time we're coming through him, I could talk continuously about it.
I don't recall Stephen Gerrard making any mention of any of this. You know, I mean,
who's caring about Stephen Gerrard? I'm talking about me. I'm watching the game and I'm paying my money to watch the game. We're looking.
It's funny. I thought he was the manager.
Well, but what do you mean? He's not going to criticise it. I'm criticising it because I'm paying money to watch it, and I'm expecting somebody to make decisions.
When you're talking about paying money, when you pay your money, there's absolutely no guarantee for you or any supporter of any club that everything will be fine. You pay your money. If your team pays badly, then, you know, it spoiled your day. But you pay your money to get in. You don't pay to get the guarantee of happiness.
0141 951 1025. Thank you to John in Paisley. We've got a good full time teaser for you guys. It's some big names in here, some well known names, and we're going to have to see how many you can come up with. We'll do it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's that time of the night when you send a question in and the pundits use the remaining 30 minutes or so to try and come up with the answers. So if you like the sound of it and you want to hear your question used on the show in the future, the address you need to send it to is fulltime@clyde1.com. Martin Burns sent tonight's question in. He says, can you name the players who were the top appearance makers for each decade for Celtic and Rangers from the 60s onwards? So we did something similar a couple of weeks ago with goal scorers, remember?
Uh-huh. Yes.
It was you two. So to sort of reword it or simplify it, we're looking for Celtic's and Rangers top appearance holders in the 60s, the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s.
90s, I'm going for Ian Ferguson.
No.
John Brown.
No.
In the 60s. Billy McNeil, John Gregg.
Billy McNeil, yes. John Gregg, no.
Dave Smith.
No.
Davey Wilson.
Mm-mm.
Sandy Jardine in the 70s, 80s.
Yes, 70s Sandy Jardine.
70s
Celtics, I'll go for Billy McNeil.
No, Billy retired in 75. Danny McGrain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, lovely.
I'll take one more guess from you. So we're looking for Celtic and Rangers top appearance makers in every decade.
Cam Boyd,
since the
60s.
Yes. Well done. Okay, that's four. We'll leave it there. Plenty of time for you to come up with the right answers. Let's take a call from Stephen in Ayr. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Hugh. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Stephen.
I'm just wondering the guys' opinions. The past couple of weeks I've been on here, I've heard a lot of Celtic fans calling, saying about Greg Taylor should automatically get the left back spot. Well, months gone by, all I've seen for Johnny Hayes is his work rate. I think he's great going forward. Maybe not as good a defender, but we're all about attacking. I think Johnny Hayes, I don't understand the hate the guy gets.
I don't think it's hate.
Oh, no, I don't think
it's hate.
Some
people dislike it.
There's been a lot of negativity. The gist of Stephen's point is still bang on the money. There has
Absolutely.
Been so much negativity on these phones surrounding Johnny Hayes and suggesting that Greg Taylor plays. Greg Taylor did start yesterday.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Hayes replaced him.
And I paid tribute to Johnny Hayes along with Rogic and Christie for what they did yesterday to turn 1-1 into 4-1. If you give me the choice, I'm going for Greg Taylor.
Well, do you know, there's an interesting thing. Well, when you
why,
Stephen,
why? Sorry, why says Stephen, just to elaborate?
I just think he is a more than competent footballer going forward and defending. He whipped in some terrific crosses yesterday. I just think he's an all-round good natural footballer and a natural fullback.
If Celtic were going with a back four, I think Taylor's better suited. However, Johnny Hayes gives you more of an option, because when he gets into the final third, he can drive at the fullback and he gets a lot more crosses in, more so as a winger. And I think it's better suited with Johnny Hayes more further forward. There was periods within the game he was getting so far and McGowan was facing him up, and he doesn't have the craft and the pace to get past him. Check back, and it kind of slows down, allowing Hamill to recover. So I think horses for courses for me.
Is that a fair distinction, Stephen? Maybe with the back three and the wing backs, that's particularly suited to Johnny Hayes, whereas a back four would be more up Greg Taylor Street. That's Alex's take, certainly.
Yeah, I get the point. I just find Johnny Hayes has been a bit criticised the past couple of weeks. When he's contributed more to Celtic, obviously I get that Greg Taylor's not really the chance. But another point I've got is, yesterday I thought Griffiths's, I didn't think at first it was a red card, to be honest. I thought his foot got pulled, so he kind of toppled over on top of him. But I sort of get it, shoe flipped it earlier. If that's a Celtic player that stood on, I would be shouting red all day.
Uh-huh. What I think has just happened is the first time ever that you've changed someone's mind.
Well, for me, it's just such an obvious one. If Lee Griffiths had been the person lying on the ground and that had happened to him, this programme would have been in meltdown.
That's football, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. That's football. And there's no point in contradicting that. It would have been in meltdown.
Just going back to the original point, Alex, because I think there's a good debate to be had there. Is that what we saw yesterday? When you have a team who defended as well as Hamilton did, and again, I feel like I want to give them credit once more, because it's been lost a little bit. It was a relatively heavy defeat in the end, but some of the effort that they put into their defending was incredible. Yeah. But when you've got everyone behind the ball, and if you're Celtic and you're able, obviously, to work it from side to side and go out to one of these wing-backs, at some point, you're probably going to need him to eliminate his opposition, his opposite number, and unlock something, much the way that Frimpong is so successful at
down the right
on the other side. Does that suit Johnny Hayes more than Greg Taylor?
For me, all day long. I think partly because Johnny Hayes was an out and out left winger, he's converted to being a bit more deeper as he's getting older. He's adapting relatively well to that left back berth as well. So I think for me, it's a great option to have. You know, I don't think Taylor done anything that didn't say that he was up to the job. But when you're just looking to unlock a defence, I think Johnny Hayes is far better suited to that, particularly when you have so much of the ball. You have that, as you rightly said, you have that out ball. I like Johnny Hayes in terms of, you know, the impetus. He's dived over the ball to get the ball, come back, the resulting from that comes as a goal, and you're saying to yourself, well played. A lot of people are waiting for people to pick up balls.
You know, Alec, you've watched it all your life. People have favourites. James Forrest, I remember the guy coming on last week and saying, hadn't they played a game for months? And I said, that's very harsh. And there you have James Forrest yesterday, another goal, another good, solid performance. I think people just nowadays are overly harsh on their own team and individuals within that team.
How do you feel about the overall strength at the moment, Stephen? Because again yesterday, you know, Rogic and Christie both start on the bench. There's been that shape change back and forward between the 3-5-2 and the usual shape that Celtic employ. How are you feeling about the sort of overall form?
I'm delighted. I mean, I phoned here in February, and Shu said to me, October. And Shu's words were to me, it's all hypothetical. He couldn't believe that I says there's no title race on, right? But my point was, when it comes to the big, big games, Rangers slip up more than Celtic. And this is not me saying I told you so, but that's, do you know what I mean?
It kind is.
Are you now saying there is no title race?
I don't think so. No, when I've slipped up matches at Celtic win, I definitely don't. Rangers need to win every single game up until the Old Firms, and then hope to beat Celtic twice. Is that fair?
I think Alex said as much.
Not necessarily, because what I'm saying is, if Rangers win the next five or six, Gordon, and Celtic drop a point or two, then if they beat them in the first Old Firm, effectively you're kind of back on a level par. So, you know, there's so many permutations, but the way Celtic are going, you can see them going on a, you know, remarkable run.
Time will tell. Thank you very much, Stephen. In air, you always like honesty from managers, Hugh. I know it's a real favourite trait of yours. How about this from Stephen Robinson? How many times have you sat and heard the manager sort of embellish his own team's effort within a game? He says it would have been a travesty if they had equalised against Livingston because they deserved nothing from the game. He says all 10 of his outfield players had an off day and every decision that he made went wrong.
With 10 players off, bar Mark Gillespie, didn't turn up, unrecognisable to me. You know, we couldn't pass the ball, so we couldn't get any ownership of the game, and they outrun us, they outfought us, you know, and that can't happen if you want to stay third in the league. You have to do the basics. We didn't do that. We deserve nothing out of the game. Had we have equalised, I think it'd been an absolute travesty. I'd have taken it tonight, but we didn't deserve anything, so you have to put it in a box, and as you said, it's very unlike us, but we didn't get anything going tonight. Usually when we went to Aberdeen, we didn't pass the ball, we scrapped well. Today we couldn't pass the ball and we didn't win battles. You know, I thought the boy Dykes was outstanding up front. They bullied us all day. And it's very rare where you see 10 players have a complete off day. And that's what happened. We tried to make changes at half time because I knew we were waiting to get beat. You know, I think Mark kept us in the game with three or four great saves. We made changes, we went to 3-5-2. We tried to be a bit more direct and go down the sides of them, but we didn't do that well either. So every change I made went wrong. And, you know, so I'm included in that blame as well.
I'm mightily impressed. I mean, just tell the honest to goodness truth, and no one's got any comeback after that. So he's, you know, he's been a good manager there by saying his team were bad.
Do you know, I think it's very honest, as you said, Gordon, and it's also very calculated because by actually doing it publicly, he's looking for a response. You know, he's saying to himself, he's gave him so much praise over the recent months have been brilliant.
And it's Celtic at Fir Park on Wednesday.
So he'll be looking for some sort of response. But listen, when you play against either Old Firm, your team tends to kind of try and roll up the sleeves that a little bit more.
And he didn't forget to praise Livingston while giving his own team a bit of a going over. And as I said at the start, result of the weekend for me, because Livingston's fifth home win and not a goal lost.
Some going, isn't it?
Yeah, you can sort of manipulate the statistics various ways, Alex. It's one defeat in 11. It's five victories in a row.
What is it, seven?
It's six home victories in a row. I mean, they really are absolutely flying at the moment.
Gordon, I remember there was a period in earlier on that they hadn't won in about seven or eight games. And you think to yourself, whoa, they're on free fall. That turnaround, I think he says as well, Stephen Robinson, talking about Lyndon Dykes, I think he is pivotal. You know, we talk about Morelos, you talk about Edouard, key players. I think Lyndon Dykes is as good a handful in this division, you know, particularly for what he does for Livingston.
Yeah. Martin is a Rangers fan from Falkirk. What's your point tonight, Martin?
I'm a worried Rangers fan just now. It might sound over the top, but our players say we have run out of steam. We've got players who are unrecognisable from the start of the season. Kamara's went from a 50k player to a 5 million player. Now he looks back like a 50k player. Ojo has never turned up. Ken, as much as I love him, doesn't look like a £7 million player to me just now. And it's a bad day if your goalkeeper gets man of the match. And a wide point to Alex. Alex, I hope you're right about the investment, because it looks like in the summer we're going to need it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, as I said at the time, I says I was led to believe that there was going to be a share issue, and within a few days that was thrown out there. Now, I don't know whether investment's been actually put in as of yet, but it's clearly not been invested into the team, so you don't know whether that's running costs, you don't know whether that's going to be to the going forward to maybe the development of the ground in the summer.
If it was significant, do you feel like we would have maybe heard a bit more about it?
I don't think you would have heard anything about investment, because if you're going to go
if it was significant though, you know, if we're talking like, you know, sort of money that could revolutionise a team, for instance.
Yeah, but the thing is, Gordon, you're going to tell everybody you've got fresh investment and you're going to go and try and get players. Bumps up the price.
The point about investment right now, Alec, it's the 3rd of February. You can't spend it. Doesn't matter who comes in with what. You can't spend it. The window's closed.
Yeah, but presumably if it's there, it was there last week or 5 days ago before the window closed.
Well, if that was the case, then Rangers could have gone out and made a marquee signing.
That's my point.
But it's a mute point now, because the window's closed and what Rangers have is what they will need to use to negotiate the remainder of this title race. And at the moment, players have gone off the boil. Martin has named those who have gone off the boil. They have to come back big time on Wednesday. That now becomes a crucial match for Rangers, absolutely crucial. And they also have to hope that Celtic slip up against this Motherwell team, who were, in the words of the manager, hopeless.
Alex, what about the names that Martin mentions? Kamara, Kent, for instance. Let's take them, because Ojo's gets a lot of stick, but he is,
he's playing fleeting. He's cameos.
He's clearly not having the impact though. But we'll leave him aside, because I think we did address that earlier on, specifically on Kamara and Kent. Is Martin's criticism fair?
I think so, Gordon. But listen, I think he's obviously highlighted a couple of players there, but I think there's other players also that have gone off the boil as well. So you're looking for them to step up to the mark, Gordon. I think the bigger issue is, as a team, you know, I think Steven Gerrard's saying that, you know, there's very few players stepping up to the mark. You know, you're talking about 7 or 8 players. You cannot afford to carry that a number. You can have 1 or 2 out of off days, but when it comes to the crunch, you know, I kind of emphasise how big Wednesday is, because if we think it's the criticism for Steven Gerrard's bad now, if they continue in this form that they're showing in the last 3 games, then it will seriously mount.
Martin, I'm wondering what the last week or so has done to your confidence levels ahead of Wednesday. I mean, if I'd asked you this 6 weeks ago, I'm sure you would have been almost certain that you were going to sweep Hibs aside, as you did earlier on in the season at Ibrox. Are you feeling a bit more concerned now?
I'm not so much concerned about the Hibs game, but I am concerned about our title credentials for the end of the season. It wouldn't surprise me if we go out and win 5-0, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we go and get another 0-0 draw. That's where I am just now.
I think when you look at the actual consistency of the team, you know, you're not seeing enough long periods within the game. They're dominating, scoring a couple of goals, put to bed. It looks as if they're huffing and puffing, Gordon, and I think that's the key thing. And when you're talking about Steven Gerrard's own words, they're no spark, and that's exactly what they need to do. They need to take...
Do they need a convincing performance then to really get that belief back? Because you're probably, as much as Rangers have won games in that period, you're going back to the Celtic game really to find the last...
Yeah, dominant performance. Yeah, and the thing is, you're trying to dominate the ball in and out of possession. That's one of the things that Steven Gerrard did. But you're watching it, Gordon, you know, and they're not asking questions of the opposition defence as they should.
Good man, Martin. Thank you, as always, for your call. What about the other Martin? He sent your question in tonight. Can you name the top appearance makers for each decade for Celtic and Rangers from the 60s onwards? So in the 1960s, Billy McNeil, you've got him. He was Celtic's record appearance holder. You don't have Rangers.
Willie Henderson.
No.
It's a difficult one, that, I think.
Derek Johnson.
No, it surprised me.
Eric Caldo.
No.
Willie Matheson.
No. Let's work up. In the 70s, you've nailed the 70s. You've got McGrain and Jardine. In the 90s, you've got Boyd for Celtic anymore.
In the 80s, Roy Aitken.
Yes.
Big Roy. In the 90s, Hugh for Rangers would have been... I'm just trying to think of the 9 in a row.
Governor Walker's on. He's got it for the 80s.
I see. 80s. 80s for Rangers. Bobby Russell?
No.
Alec McDonald? 80s. McCoy's?
No.
When did he start? 86? Durant?
I'll give you some thinking time and we'll get the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
On the home straight here with Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. They had some work to do, I must admit, on the full time teaser, but credit to them. Credit where it's due. Good teamwork during the break. Oh, I saw lots of high fiving and celebrating. I think you maybe have come up with a few more correct answers. So the question tonight: which players were the top appearance makers for each decade for Celtic or Rangers? So from the 60s onwards, right. You've got Billy McNeil for the 60s Celtic. Have you got the Rangers one in the 60s?
Yeah, this is my schoolboy days in the 1960s. Ronnie McKinnon.
And that's really gentleman.
Brilliant.
I had
well
dinner
done.
With him a couple of years ago in Stornoway.
Ronnie McKinnon. You've already got the 70s, Danny McGrain and Sandy Jardine. In the 80s, you've got Roy Aitken. Who's the Rangers one?
Yes, Richard Gough.
In the 80s, no.
Oh, sorry, David Cooper it was.
Yes. Now in the 90s, Tom Boyd is Celtic's record appearance holder in the 90s. Who would be the Rangers equivalent?
No, you take it. Go on, I'll give you
Gough.
Richard Gough. Well
and
done.
I'll tell you,
the 2000s,
I think it's the manager, Neil Lennon.
It is.
And my old teammate Barry Ferguson.
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there, because you've only got two to get, and it's the two most recent. It's the 2010s. One for Celtic, one for Rangers. We'll leave it there. Let's speak to Frank in Kilmarnock. Hi Frank.
Hi, Gordon. Evening, you. Evening,
hi, Frank.
You're well, guys.
Hello.
He's all right. The reason I'm phoning up is I'm on the show quite a bit. You might remember, Hugh, in particular, although you get thousands of calls. Back in October, I said that I predicted that the one thing that would see Celtic through at that time when things were looking quite neck and neck, the Celtic squad, for me, is substantial when you compare it to Rangers. And the reason I'm saying that back then, and I said it now, is I think I was comparing at the time, I think Ed Morelos was scoring the bulk of Rangers' goals, and then scratch below the surface and take the four out, there was no many contributing. And I think now what you're looking at is post this black. If I look at what's happened, Celtic have got these injuries, nobody seems to talk about it. All I keep hearing is Taverner's been out, Morelos has been suspended, and Jack's been out the last couple of games, which is granted, and that's my point. Rangers miss these guys like mad, and behind the scenes, there's not the quality to come in. Whereas if you look at Celtic yesterday, we were missing a first choice right back of two right backs in Frimpong and Elhamid. So actually, could have probably stepped into a back three rather than the boy Welsh, who by point actually played very well in his debut. It was encouraging to see. We've got El Yunusi out of the team. There's three certain first starters, which, and we've had tons all season, but the difference is we seem to have a massive strength and depth. And then if you look at the boys that came off the bench for Celtic yesterday, they clearly turned the game. And then compare it to what happened with Rangers on Saturday. Ibrox, and okay, it's Hadji and Canberra's debut, but their strength and depth, I think the key thing over the course of a 60-70 game season is now what happened last season. It seems to be repeating itself this season. And I said at the time, and the chap that was on before me, Ryan Kent's a £7 million marquee signing for Rangers, and well done to the board for doing that, because that's a huge outlay. I'm sure Christopher Julien scored the same amount of goals as a £7 million winger. Compare it to what we've got, we've got Forrest scoring 16-17 and Christie scoring 16-17, and I think therein lies the difference. So not bemoaning what Rangers are doing, well done to them, because there's a challenge there. I think there still is, but I think my point is that our squad, we will now, as we have in a lot of seasons, begin to pull away. The January to May is where Celtic squad, I think, always comes to fruition.
Was that always going to be the challenge for Rangers, Alex? Because Celtic obviously go into this from a position of strength, having been the dominant side, having won everything, having built up that squad.
Yeah.
And Rangers on their day, when you've got 11 against 11 this season, have shown that they can be a match. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The 29th told you that, the cup final told you, despite the fact that the Celtic went on to win. Was it always going to be really that when you dug a bit deeper and you had to deal with the long season, maybe injuries or suspensions or dips in form, was that always likely to be the thing that went in Celtic's favour?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Frank touched upon it in terms of the importance of keeping people fit, because if you just take Celtic, he mentioned the right back berth. Celtic have three right backs, they have three left backs, they have untold amount of central midfielders in the wider areas, middle to front, and they now have four strikers I've got now?
Yeah.
Four strikers. So in terms of outlay and the budget that they spend, I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago, £20 million they've spent in the both windows, which is considerably more than anyone else in the league. So obviously it's going to give an advantage. Now, as I said, and Frank can agree or disagree, Rangers need to try and keep on their coattails, hope that they can go on a run till the Celtic game in March, and then hope that they'll drop a point or two within that period. And that is what they've got to try and do, just to try and keep it going to the wire.
I couldn't contradict anything that Frank has said. The only point I would make is that it has to go on in this vein. Celtic have to go to Motherwell midweek. Motherwell always put up a fight against Celtic at Fir Park. You go back to last season where it took a belated Callum McGregor penalty, I think, or Callum McGregor won a penalty later on, and that helped Celtic there.
I think it was a couple of seasons back, if it's the same one I'm thinking of, but anyway.
So they have to keep it going. If they do win at Motherwell, they can approach the cup tie with Clyde in a relaxed fashion and then pick up the league again. It is now purely and simply about ticking off the games and making sure that when they go to Ibrox in March, they leave there with something. And if they leave Ibrox with something, not having lost between now and then, they'd be massive favourites.
Give you the final say, Frank.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the two key games prior to March and the 15th of March against Rangers is Motherwell away, Aberdeen away.
they're the two games that I've looked at the fixtures. If we can come out of those two, even the 4 points, guys, I mean, okay, we want six, but I think that the rest of the games, no disrespect to the rest of the league, but the way Celtic are playing now, they look as if they took a foot in the accelerator and going to the March, the 15th game at Ibrox, and come away with that. I think you makes a good point. Celtic get a draw there, you walk away, and you're more than a game ahead in terms of the last five games of the season, or the last six. And I think, Alex, just to say one last thing, Alex, bang on. I was one of the Celtic fans, so I'm talking to myself, that on Friday night, I was a bit disappointed. I thought, God, we never find a winger or whatever. But at the end of the day, we spent £5.5 million in January. Not many teams have ever done that. We have spent £20 million and we've added to the squad, and these boys will be players for the future. So, well done to Celtic. Everything in a good place, and we're in for an interesting last 3 to 4 months of season. So, cheers for taking my call as always, guys. Cheers, and have a good one. Cheers, guys.
Good man, Frank. Right, that rounds us off nicely. You've got some work to do on the teaser, though. We're looking for Celtic's record appearance holder in the 2010s and Rangers' record appearance holder in the 2010s. That was quite an easy one.
Oh, I was getting in before, so I'm getting excited.
The Rangers one, however.
2010 to.
This is the time of upheaval.
Speaking of which, you noticed it was 700 club appearances for Scott Brown yesterday.
Yeah, remarkable.
You don't have long to react to it, by the way, but you can make it quick.
I'm on record as saying he's now the most successful and the most important Celtic captain since Billy McNeil. And I don't compare people to Billy McNeil lightly.
I'm going to go for Tavernier.
No.
Tavernier. McGregor.
No. So you're going to want to think more towards the beginning and then the middle of the... I mean, he was still there at the end of the 2010s, but...
Chris Boyd.
Stephen Davis.
No. No. He's not there any longer. Well, I'll tell you where he plays at the moment.
Okay.
This girl is going to kill us, isn't it? Go.
You were hoping this was going to be the first one with no
one.
Clues.
No clues, Hugh.
He plays for QPR.
Oh, it's Lee Wallace.
Lee Wallace. You nearly got there without clues, but you did wind it off. Thank you to Martin for the question. We are back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Roger Hanna and Gordon Deer will be here. Make sure you join us. We'll be hearing from Neil Lennon and Stephen Gerrard again. They're on media duties tomorrow, and Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.